Okay. Welcome to another episode of Over Ask, presented by The Broke Agent, hosted by me, but The Broke Agent is also here today, which is not so good. Anyways, we have a very special guest, Mr. Mike Fulfree. He is star of Netflix, Million Dollar Beach House. He is a model. And I mean, if you watch the show, you would know he is a model, still is. I mean, look at him. If our viewers are watching this.
Jawline's ridiculous.
The jawline, handsome as ever. And newly, he a father as well. Pretty new. Well, new on the show. I don't know how long ago you put that. So congrats on fatherhood. And yeah, Mike, thanks so much for being here. How's it going?
What's up, you fucking gorgeous people? It is an honor to be on the show. You have no idea how much I look up to you guys. Just from your Instagram is kind of really where it all started. And being in this business and having people like yourselves who are in the business too, it's really cool and be able to relate with people from all over the place. And you guys are personalities like I've never seen. So thank you again for having me on. This is awesome.
Of course, man. We're happy. We're just as happy to have you. Like we were saying off air, we watched the show last night.
Not together.
I'm texting Eric. No, not together. He's in LA. I'm in Toronto. Yeah. But I texted him. I was like, fuck, this is a really good show. I didn't know what to expect at first. You know, you never know what these with like the real estate shows. You never know. There's one from Canada that is complete fucking bullshit. And
yeah.
You know, this is real. It seems very relatable. Like there's a lot of kind of, you know, it shows the hardships of some like little things that go on in the show. So I like
$35 million Hamptons beach homes is relatable.
No,
we're so relatable to everybody.
No, but the interactions with like
the interactions are 100% relatable.
Super relatable.
Yeah.
So the only thing that's different between us and working like with the Up Island guys, we'll call it, right? Or anybody that's in a different market
is just that like simply Dan O'Neill.
Yeah, Dan, my boy Dan. He's the Up Island guy.
Okay.
I'm the East End guy. Dan's the Up Island guy. And it, like what we talk about is the only difference, we all have to deal with the same bullshit when it comes to contracts and everything else. It's just the number. The clients act the same. Like, honestly, like, because I talk to Dan all the time about this, a buyer looking at a $500,000 home busts his chops just as much as a buyer looking for a $10 million with me. It's just all relatable. It's just simply difference in price. But human nature is going to be the same. When someone spends a $500,000, it's the same as, you know, someone with a high net worth spending $10 million. It could be the same to them, you know, in what their net worth is and whatever the case may be. So a lot of times you see the same exact behaviors and you guys capture that perfectly in all the memes and everything that happens. But I see a complete similarity between all real estate markets in some facet.
Totally. I need to know, because we don't get to talk to someone on Netflix every day. So how did this happen? You were a football player first. Were you like real deal, maybe like going to NFL or playing college ball? Like what was your...
So I could have been real deal. I let my kind of my ego get to me. So what kind of happened was I was a big boy. When I met JB, which you'll see in like in episode one, we pretty much talk about how we met. I mean, I was 15 years old, 6 foot, almost five, 320 pounds. So like I was just this big
born to
monster
play
dude. Right. So I was playing JV as a freshman and like he came over to me. He was the first kid I met. And then literally just started playing football and like kicking ass. I was really good.
O-lineman?
Weightlifting, squatting. I was going to all the combines. I'm sorry, Eric.
Were you an O-lineman?
Yeah. So I originally started as an O-lineman and then I went to the defense. When I went to the defense is really where I flourished. I was doing really good. I was competing and going to all these different combines and going everywhere and just really was kind of a psycho. Like I liked violence. Like I enjoyed going Russian against people. Another 300-pound person. So it was pretty crazy. Going into my first game junior year where we're all together, I break my ankle really bad during practice. And like literally I let that get to me in my head, which I shouldn't have. And when I broke it, I pretty much never recovered fully from it because the doctors were like, you need to stay out. The coaches wanted me back in like weeks. And when I came back, the confidence just wasn't there. I also lost and started losing a ton of weight because my doctors were like, listen, if you don't make it to the NFL, you're going to be 500 pounds and you're going to die young and you're going to have back problems and knee problems, which I do have anyway, still. And, you know, so such little make it, but I still, you know, if I actually wanted to be in the NFL, I would have worked hard to get there because I have the body type. I just kind of gave up on it because I wanted to be healthy. So I lost a ton of weight and got to meet a ton of women and go to Milan and do Dolce & Gabbana. So it wasn't a bad trade-off, you know?
Well, yeah. So did you play football in college and then graduate and then become a model, or what was the timeline with that?
So perfect. So the timeline's pretty crazy. So I don't know if you guys are, well, who can forget the Ed Hardy, Christian Audigier days?
Yeah.
Do you remember like all that weird Ed Hardy crap?
Yeah.
So like, with like where your shirt would weigh like 60 pounds because of like
the flame and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Like you just like were like completely shiny. So I actually was just walking in the mall and this one guy from Ed Hardy, one of the stores that were, you know, they were doing all the Ed Hardy, was like, you know, and by the way, I was walking the mall because my original first job was when I lost all the weight, I would wear no shirt and just jeans in front of Abercrombie and Fitch and be like, hey, just welcome to Abercrombie.
Oh,
and
you
like,
were that guy?
And fucking pepper spray someone in the face with the cologne.
The cologne.
Like, psh, welcome.
Yeah, with welcome. That house music playing in the background.
Yeah, just like, it's just like, what is going on? There's like four moms and they're pissed off at their daughters.
Right.
And then I'm just like spraying this cologne. And then I got off that hellhole job and I was just walking out and he's like, dude, he's like, everybody talks about you in the mall. It's like this really good looking guy. Like I was chiseled up and I used to be this fat bastard. So I never saw it. So he's just like, you know, you ever done modeling? I'm like, no. So I did some pictures with him, went on a website. Long story short, I pretty much was discovered. I was offered a gigantic contract to go to Italy. I lived in Italy for years. I did every pretty much fashion designer around. So pretty much straight out of high school, I went into modeling and did it for years. Jeez. And traveled all over the place. And then I got into real estate, which is pretty crazy. So
yeah,
I had a pretty fun life.
Why did the modeling stop? And then why did you choose, you know, your life in Milan surrounded by women modeling for, you know, Dolce & Gabbana or whatever?
Yeah. So it wasn't as glamorous as you would think. So
you looked glamorous. You looked fucking glamorous.
Yeah, they'll make you look super glamorous and you're like, you get the paycheck and you're like 300 euros. But like you do get paid. No, I mean, no, there's jobs you get paid well. But the thing is, being a male model, Zoolander does not do it justice. That's not like some of it actually is true the way it is. But a lot of it is the women drive the market and that's who gets paid the most. Us men, like I would be doing jobs with girls. Candace Swainpool, Victoria's Secret model, Brooke Shields. I worked with in Miami for Vogue. And find out what they're making. They're making like $150,000, $250,000 for the day. And you're making $5,000. You're like, damn. Like, there is a difference in this business for that. So
age, you know, gap right there.
Yeah, there's a bit of a, so it's like discrepancy in the workplace. In modeling, it is against the male instead of the female. It's completely different. It is, it was really tough. So, you know, I said, how long am I going to want to say, oh, I'm just this model guy and that's, you know, a great way to pick up chicks and have fun and do whatever you want. But excuse me, at some point I wanted to look into the future and, you know, actually use my talents, which is sales. I knew I was good at sales. I'm great at bullshitting and just like, you know, really just going riffing off anything. And I knew it wasn't something I wanted to be in forever. I didn't like, I don't really like vanity too much and all that crap. So, because I mean, I was just this fat kid most of my life. So like, I saw the other side of it getting, you know, asking girls out, getting rejected. Like it was terrible. So that whole look at me kind of thing and that high fashion, all that bull crap really didn't mean much to me. It was the relationships that I made and it was fun while it lasted. And as soon as I saw it getting to my head and stuff, I was like, I'm done with this. I got to get out. I got to come back to Long Island and get grounded. But like, you know, I wasn't living in the most glamorous places. I lived in Bovisa. So I had this gypsy lady live literally in my windowsill. So I would sleep at night and this gypsy lady, there was gypsies all over Italy and they would steal from you. And she would just sleep in my windowsill. So I lived in like the worst part of Italy you possibly can imagine because it's all I could afford. And I was living with some of the top models in the world. Like these guys are the faces of Cole Haan, the faces of Nautica, like Calvin Klein, like Giorgio Armani cologne, and we're all just living in this shitbox building, and it's just how it worked. And no one knows that about modeling, how crazy it really is.
Well, no, so I was
ready to get out.
I won't pursue it anymore then. I mean, I think I have a good, I know
you're gonna have to break a lot of hearts. A lot of agents are gonna be upset. Just call Armani and tell him, listen, Giorgio, it's not gonna work.
Yeah, well, I'm 5'9", 155 pounds, so I think I'm really what they're looking for right now. But
you know, man.
Yeah.
You could be a model for Century 21 Real Estate if you wanted.
Yeah, I could be a model for
gold
for,
jacket and
for
stand
Baby
on
Gap.
Pop agent.
Nah, yeah, dude. Honestly, you probably could play like a really good serial killer in a movie. Just that stash alone. It's like, just tell us where the bodies are. And I could just see you just like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I think a lead cop from the fucking 80s. That's what I'm thinking.
A lead cop from the 80s? Yeah, something like that would be, dude.
We'll see.
The quirky dad. I just, there's so many things that I think you could be typecasted for.
Serial killer, quirky dad, but
yeah,
not a model.
Serial killer, quirky dad.
Not a model.
Real life Ned Flanders, not a model. okay, so you, out of high school, went and modeled for a couple years. When did you get into real estate? And when you got back, and you just went right into real estate from there?
So no, I actually, so when I got back, I traveled a little bit. I spent a lot of time in Aruba. So like my parents owned a lot of timeshare time. It's like months in Aruba and all over the place in Florida. So I went fishing and I went and just vacationed on my own, pretty much went everywhere I could and just chilled for like 2 years. Cause I did make enough to, you know, have a good lifestyle and just relax. But then I actually got into the car business. I was like, you know what? I need to make some money because everything I was looking about real estate, cause I don't want to make it all glamorous. It is the hardest fucking business in the world. You guys know that. Yeah. 90% don't make it when they start. I mean, everybody that I started with, there's like three of them left. Like everybody that I knew that like originally started it. I mean, there's nobody really left, and I've only been doing this 2 years and 8 months. So, you know, I see how fast people were just like going away from this. So I said, listen, I could have a lot of money saved. I ended up working for Jeep Alfa Romeo. So I was out there just hustling Jeeps and Rams and doing anything I can. But I ended up becoming the top 100 in the Northeast of the country in sales. So like, I was like, damn, I'm really good at sales. Like I'm the number one guy at my place. I'm making a ton of money. I was doing really well. I'm like, I got this because it's just going to translate into human interactions with people. That's what sales are. It's two people talking, coming to a meeting of the minds and making a deal on something. So it's just a different kind of product. It's not a $35,000, $60,000 car. You know, I'm now wanted to go into the big leagues with the millions, but I took a shot. So I was actually wanting to get into real estate, and I'm sitting there talking to a big real estate agent from New York, which I didn't know at the time. I won't name names, but he said to me, not Ryan. I hope him well.
Jimmy from the show.
Yeah, no. So he told me, he goes, Mike, you're so good at this. You have to get into real estate. I'm like, well, that's exactly what I want to do. Like, I've always wanted to get into real estate. I want to do this. So I finally just said, I'm going to take my test. And I did it. I got into it. Started at a different brokerage, was there for a week. I'm not a big hopper, so I don't like going around to different places. Took my test. Couldn't believe I passed the first time. Like, I am not good with like streets, with book smarts. I just like in school, it didn't really work out well. If I was passionate about it, I can learn and be really good. If I'm not passionate, it's just hard for me to really pay attention. That's just the way I am.
Yeah.
So, you know, with this, I passed the first time, went to another brokerage for a week, and I started going after every builder, like the balls of me going into the Hamptons, which is one of the hardest markets in the country to sell. And I was just trying to call every builder and work with everybody. So ended up being, I finally got this one builder, and I'm literally 8 days in the business. He's like, he had to call the other agent and was like, this guy, Mike, is going to come to this. It's a $6 million house, by the way. He's going to share listings with you. He's going to share showings with you. So he's like, cultivate as many buyers as you can from it. Do whatever you want. The other brokerage was so impressed. They were like, we need you to come to us. We don't have no idea who the fuck you are, but it's like the Godfather. You know, you keep your enemies close. So they thought they would just bring me in because it would make sense, because a kid doing this 8 days already going after builders that they've been trying to go after for years. So I literally get a call like a few days after going with the brokerage from the CEO, Eddie Shapiro of Nest Seekers. you know, the mind behind Million Dollar Listing, you know, Ryan's brokerage. And he pretty much said, we had this new incredible idea and we think you'd be perfect. And first thing I thought was like, of course, it's because I was a model and it's going to be a TV show. And that's what it is. So I knew what I was getting into, that like, listen, I'm not this superstar agent. They were catching us in the beginning of our careers, which was really cool and organic. So I knew what I was getting myself into. And I said, let me go for this and ride it as hard as I can. I was never a social media guy. I never really had any of this stuff. I used to watch podcasts like years ago and was like, I don't think this will be shit. And now it's like the biggest kind of form of media that's out there. So, you know, I'm just amazed by everything that's been happening and pretty much how the show took off. It was very big on Netflix. It was like trending, like number one for a long time. Yeah.
So
it was like us and Ozarks, which I was like, shit, yeah, that's Ozark's awesome.
Ozarks fucking sick. Ozarks yes. fucking sick.
Yeah. And the Breaking Bad movie came out around that time and we were staying top 10, man. We were sticking with those boys. It was crazy.
Yeah. So like a couple weeks in and you called to be on a TV show?
I'm sorry, a
couple weeks into real estate, you got a call to be on a real estate show?
Literally, yeah. No, my second week in. So it's just like, I've been very lucky through my life, like the modeling, you know, I was just like this guy spraying people in the face, and then all of a sudden I do Ed Hardy and then it turns into Milan. So and then this happens. I told my parents all the time, I have a fucking shamrock up my ass and I'm Italian, so it doesn't make any sense. Yeah, it's just so weird. So, you know, and I think it just comes with being like, I'm not trying to talk about myself here, but I'm a good guy. Like I'm not here to, I've never fucked over anybody. I'm just here to really just make good relationships, authentic relationships. If I don't like you, I just don't really spend time with you. I'm not that kind of guy. So, you know, if I'm around you, that I want to be. So oh,
thank God.
So for the 90% of agents listening that fail in the first few years, all you have to do is get recruited by Netflix to be on a trending show in your first 2 weeks of real estate.
Yeah.
And then I think you'll be good to go.
Pretty easy. Dude,
Eric, you know what? To be honest, man, it has totally catapulted my career. Like, you know, things were okay and I was crawling. It was really hard to get anything. You know how the market was.
Yeah.
You know how the market, yeah, dude. You guys know how the market was in 18. It wasn't as crazy and robust as it is ever since the COVID-19.
Yeah.
And, you know, Manhattan's different, but they're starting to transact now like crazy too. But what happened in the Hamptons was unprecedented. Like what happened, I never seen before. It was just the influx of buyers have been crazy. And you have a $5 million home, you usually show like once in a while. You have lines of 25, 30 people lined up. And you got Porsches, Bentleys, Ferraris down the parking lot just parked, coming to see your house. And you're just like, what the hell is going on? So, you know, this is the best time for agents to come in, which is we've actually added like a third of agents to Long Island. So it's been a little bit crazy. They all don't know what the fuck they're doing either, but they're still selling houses because anybody could right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, you know, it's an interesting time. It's a lot better now. I mean, the show has helped me tremendously with getting new listings. That's what has grown me completely. You know, my Instagram, when I got the blue check mark, I was like, my wife, I'm like, what does this mean? She's like, what?
Everything.
I'm like,
yeah. How'd you get?
She's like, that's what she said. I'm like, what the fuck?
Can you bring us through that process? Cause that's what we're really trying to get.
That's why we started the podcast. That's why we're doing everything.
I'm going to DM my buddy. I'm going to be like, listen, you got a buddy to be verified.
You got a buddy?
Yeah. We got to plug you guys.
Oh my God. Does he work at, wait, real quick. I want to hear about this buddy.
Please,
Does he work at Instagram?
Well, yeah. So so you usually get someone that reaches out to you and then they kind of talk to you about everything that you have to do and you have to go through this whole process. So when we get off, I'll show you guys how to apply and how it works.
Let's just get off right now.
Exactly.
Okay. Thanks for coming on. Yeah. And
I've had so many people reach out and do this.
So have I.
Scam artists. Yeah. I've been scammed three times.
Do not.
Straight up paid money to these morons. Well, I'm
not. I haven't paid any money.
Bro. You don't have to pay shit to these people. So Instagram is mad legit when it comes to this. So all they want is they need to verify your license. So you have to take a picture of your license. Send it in so they know it's you. But right. I think the reason why, I mean, listen, I have 13,000 followers. You guys have like a 1/4 million. So.
Well, Eric does. Well, I have 18,000.
Yeah, don't include Matt in that. Matt is.
Well, Eric's the guy. I mean, look at
that. Right.
He's just killing it with those memes.
Yeah, I guess.
So Oh yeah, Matt's like, listen, I have a lot to do with that. We know. You guys are both amazing.
I'm the ghostwriter.
You guys are big brain. You got big brain energy.
That's right.
So it's just book. Like
BBE. Yeah.
Yeah, that's your book, and you're gonna get sued by Ryan. It'll be wonderful.
Hey, maybe he'll talk to us again then if he sees us.
That's awesome.
I mean, you guys especially should be, I mean, verified, it's for sure. But it's really was an identity thing, I think, for me, because Instagram was freaking out. So when the show first aired, like, it was an influx of people on my DMs, because it was from people that were negative about the show and positive about it. You got both. You got people that are going to love you and hate you. If you can't understand that that's the business, then you're crazy and you shouldn't be in this business. So I knew that going into it from being in the modeling business as long as I was. And then obviously knowing and being prepared for what was to come. So like, you know, we started seeing, like, I would search my name and it wouldn't before the blue check mark, and it would be 80 new profiles made with my modeling pictures. So it was more of like a safety thing, I think, also with identity, because I'm a public figure. I have a, you know, real estate business. I can't have people saying derogatory things or some, I curse all the fucking time. You could do that. I could do what I want. But like, you know, can't have a ton of these profiles out there and nobody can verify who is the actual guy from Netflix. So I think that's what kind of helped too. All these people trying to just use my modeling fake pictures.
Profiles.
So we need to get fake. Okay, we'll need your blue check contact.
Yeah, Matt.
Your Netflix contact.
Your Netflix contact. And we need people creating fake accounts for us as well.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what I was going to tell you guys. I'm like, I was like, probably just have a ton of people make some, just have a bunch of like Matt and Eric faces just like holding each other, just like in every picture.
The problem is
start DMing people for the like social security numbers.
Exactly.
You'll probably get verified.
I need someone just creating a bunch of fake memes that are shitty real estate memes. So then it's like, they're trying to be me, but they're not exactly me.
Bro, you know, they like would know right away if it wasn't I know right away when I see a real estate meme if it's a broke agent meme. I'm not even kidding. I'm like, this is fucking trash. And I'm like, it's definitely not. And then I'm like, this is gold and it's fucking broke agent. I'm just like,
thank you.
I mean, it's like, it's honestly hilarious. Like, it is the funniest shit. And it gets me through my day, because, you know, we deal with a lot. And you guys all know that. It's just like, you know, from what do I drink to make me calm down from the day?
Exactly.
Like, what could stop me from waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning? Like, I thought I was haunted for a moment. So like, I would wake up, not 2 o'clock, I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning all the time. I was really stressed about this closing, right? So my crazy ass Googles 3 o'clock, and 3 o'clock is the hour of the dead. So that's a time where everyone in the world is like sleeping. So it's a time where it's the most haunted. Like, I know it's random and weird. So like, I was going into all this and I'm just like, real estate is turning me into a psychopath. Like, I should get a tinfoil hat and just wear it, because like, I'm getting paranoid of the weirdest shit when I'm just worried about a deal closing.
Probably that baby Yoda perched over your shoulder. Yeah. That you're worried about.
That's and then baby Yoda and the weird ass dolls around my kid has.
Yeah.
It opens and closes his eyes. I don't like Furby. Those dolls.
Well, I'm fucking terrified now. So if I wake up at 3 a.m. tonight, I'm fucking calling you. I'm FaceTiming.
Bro, you're telling me that's not scary.
Oh my God. It's like psychotic.
Like, how are kids loving this?
Yeah.
Like, my Cabbage Patch Kids were adorable.
Right. Like, yeah, just had little beanie babies, like Inch the Inchworm. Yeah, you know, he's not making babies. Some psychotic face.
For those who are just listening, it was a shark.
Yeah.
Yeah, for those just listening, it was a shark.
It was a shark. So the show, how much, I think it's always a question, like, you know, how long does it take to film? Is it really?
Oh, it sucks.
Is it real? Like, is it all, you know, are the producers telling you like, okay, go fucking start something with Noel or
no. So everything Noel, his name is Noel.
Okay.
In the beginning, he called himself Noel.
Yeah.
So it was a really tough situation for me to control myself. What the producers loved is I was like completely just being me. I mean, the way we talk is like how I am on the show.
Yeah.
Like, there's not one bit of difference of the way I speak or anything. And that's what made it easy for me, because it was a really stressful thing to film. Like I was trying to close on properties, deal with shit, and on top of it, film like every single day. And then the more they saw how I was on camera, the more they requested me to film on these. I was like, shit. I'm like, I'm getting deep in this.
Yeah, because you and Peggy are like the leads, I would say. You have probably the most screen time.
You know, it's a bit of screen time. it's because of, you know, a lot of the situations that happen that naturally happen during that like time period. Of course, they make it bigger than they were. Like normal situations, I just be like, you motherfucker, what the fuck is going on? Like, and we ended in the office or we would just talk on the phone because honestly, we're all out there remotely. Like we're busy. We're all driving all over the place with clients. We don't sit in an office all day. And it's just what they have to do, like Selling Sunset, all these other shows, yeah, to get that scene, you know, of everyone in the office on their computers where there's zero fucking Wi-Fi. And it's just, it's a stage and it's what you have to do, but it's all real shit that we're talking about. But it was just really hard being in there because sometimes the Wi-Fi would be bad in the Hamptons. It gets really tough in cell phone service and clients are trying to reach you and you're filming at the same time. And so like, you know, the moments you catch me, you know, if you saw the whole show, me talking with another agent about square footage and how this is wrong. It's a hotel. It's almost $15 million. I'm like, this is a mess. And like, I was on the phone before filming even started. So what they did was they just came in the door with the camera and just started filming me before we were even supposed to start. Like I was mic'd up and everything. But okay. Like,
oh, so that's so like
they
real.
Mic you up right away. So, no, everything is real. I mean, literally nothing was staged or made up.
Even when the seller, so like, we watched with the Patty? First few episodes. So yeah, so when Patty
the
walks
doggy
in,
style.
This is the
oh,
most.
Oh, that's.
It's the most classic real estate show drama when the seller walks into an open house and is all pissed off and then starts bringing down the energy. So you're telling me that she organically just showed up to the open house, had no idea about the staging,
and that was
all 100% real.
Yeah, absolutely, 100 million% real. Wow. Not one bit contrived. There was no second takes. That's why the show went where it did.
Yeah.
It did so well with tens of millions of views. Tens of millions. Is because like everything was really organic because we were all just a bunch of donkeys. Like we were just thrown in the middle of this. We had no experience of acting. I was a model. I just fucking stood there and like flexed my abs, you know? And I can get into the dieting if you guys want to hear the extreme dieting I had to do at some point. But the real thing with Patty was like, I was out there. So like I had everything set up. We had Patron, like all the Patron bottles. Patron was involved in the party. So I got a bunch of amazing Mexican food from this place called Sabrosa, which is like some of the best around. It's like the Chipotle of the Hamptons. So like, you know, it was like a really cool vibe open house. I'm outside. And all of a sudden I remember her coming in. She was supposed to show up a little later. And I'm sure, you know, it's a TV show, had him show up right at that moment. And, you know, you want the buyers to be there. You know how it is, dude. You don't want your seller there when you're touring buyers.
Yeah.
You just don't want it. So it's a huge no-no. So I woke up and I saw her face and I knew she was going to be pissed because the staging was not to her taste. And I knew it wasn't going to work out. And as soon as she saw it, I just tried to sell her on the whole purpose of everything. And what made sense. And of course, the famous scene, which everybody talks to me about,
the dog
is when we go upstairs after to rectify the situation.
Yeah.
And then she finds out she can't have sex doggy style on the bed.
And her line, that line, that's like her only line.
It came out of nowhere. That was because I think that was first episode. And you didn't really
people were very surprised.
You didn't really hear much cursing or anything before. So you're kind of, you know, in that $1 million listing mindset. And then out of nowhere, she's like, well, how are you supposed to fuck on this bed? Yeah. I was just like, wait, what?
I know. I liked how raw it was. Like, you know, it's not. Yeah, you can say fuck. Like, it's good. And that's what Selling Sunset does well, too. Like, but you even more so, like Eric said, like, you know, they can't fuck doggy stuff. Like, that's a whole different.
And I showed how you could. Lays there and you fuck. I mean, come on. I mean, it's just like, but like, this is the crazy stuff that's true that just like you and your sellers or buyers have. It's you have really fun, interesting personalities you work with. And when you have that kind of money, you don't give a shit what people think.
True.
Yeah. You just speak your mind.
Okay. So are there any characters that were like made up for the show at all?
No.
Like, because there's some.
No, I, you know, in the beginning with when I was just so amazed with Noel, I was just like, this has got to be fake, this guy. But Noel is Noel.
Yeah.
And, well, not the guys in, oh, not Noel. The guys in your office.
So, Eric, you have that one guy.
Yeah. I think it was at your open house in the first episode. Or maybe, I don't know which one it was, but this guy walks in that was clearly just supposed to be like a finance bro. And he had his glasses on. And I think you got him a cocktail like right off the bat or something like that. And yeah, I was like, there's no fucking way this guy's real. Like he was so contrived. It was like the perfect Hamptons guy.
Yeah, and but dude, honestly, over here, it's like, it's a weird world.
So that, yeah. Okay.
So these So Peggy's buyer, who she brought through Noel's house, the $35 million house, that guy is like a real guy.
Peggy's a powerhouse, man. She knows some big time people.
So that guy's asking about the acoustics of the.
That was great.
Yeah, the double pane. I mean, come on. Some of the stuff can be a little bit ridiculous and abrasive. A lot of times, you just give them a list of all the shit because, I mean. All these idiots out here that say they know every bit of finishes and that, they fucking don't. You're lying to yourself, okay? You think that's quartzite. It could be quartz. It could be porcelain. You don't know what finish. It's mosaic. Is it herringbone?
I don't know any of those.
Some of these people, yeah, it's unbelievable. Like some of these people say shit. I'm just like, just if you don't know what you're talking about, just don't say it and just give a list. Yeah, so,
I would
you know,
just have a blank showing the entire time. I loved how JB was walking through and he was pointing out to the buyer. He's like, yeah, this could be the living room or, you know, the family room. And the buyer's like, yeah, or the dining room.
Yeah. He's like, this is that dining room.
It's so relatable there's so many times where I'm showing a house and I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, or I'm pointing out something and the buyer just completely disagrees with me. And that feeling is what I really enjoyed about the show, is that it seems like a lot of the people in the show didn't 100% know what the hell they were talking about. Like Noel during that show. Yeah. And that was good to see because that's super relatable. Even though it was a $35 million house, this guy's asking him questions, like Matt said, about the acoustics or that art piece. And Noel's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I like that aspect. It resonated.
And it's so funny, man. I've dealt with some of the most seasoned brokers, right? The most seasoned brokers, the top producers, the number one this on their Instagram, all that shit, right? And I see them present homes and I'm like, how the hell do you sell as much as you do if this is the passion you put into selling?
Yeah.
Because I'm not selling $1 billion like you are. Every single person I've come in, I put on a fucking show. That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, why? I'm like, I don't know how. You know, I don't know if passion's getting lost in some people. And you know, there is a change in guard. You're noticing a change. Like I even talk about on the show with JB when we go longboarding in the beginning.
Yep.
You know, it's a time where you're seeing a difference. Like we shot that right in front of his family home. That's where we played as kids. So there's so much realness on the show. It's unbelievable. And it's just, I don't know where the hell I was going with that. I was saying something else. I don't know. Let's move on.
That's pretty cool though that you just fucking abort.
Yeah, dude, literally. how many times you shut down? I shut down mentally like 5 times. Damn, just like in the middle of talking, just like wait, what?
It
I don't
is
even know what deal I'm talking about. I'm just like, right. What the hell is going on?
It is cool though that like you and JB are actual friends from high school and now you're on a fucking Netflix show.
Dude, he's like my brother. I love that's him to death. I'd do anything for him. Yeah, no, he truthfully is like a brother to me. I trust him. I respect him. He's doing amazing work. He's doing amazing things. You know, we're different, you know, with our Instagrams. We're totally different when it comes to everything. Like, you know, I have more just like really family photos taken with my phone. You know, he gets some, you know, these professional photo shoots. It's incredible what he's doing with his. Just we have two different authentic brands. You know, his brand is that really polished, like, you know, if you want that perfect agent, like this is the guy, you know, those great pictures. But like I'm more of that, you know, and I'm not saying it's real, but just that organic kind of way of doing Instagram, because I also am a family man. I got a baby, you know, a wife that does really well. She owns her own big local business out here, which people don't know in the show. They're like, oh, she's just a spoiled. No, she's not at all. She works her ass off. She makes some great money in her family business. And it's, you know, it's just, it's completely a team effort with me and her. You know, she's a woman boss. So I talked about that with Dan on his show. It's just like, people think it's just me. It's absolutely not. It's a group effort. So, you know, we're really blessed, but it's a fuckload of work. You know how it is.
Yeah.
Have you done business with Dan? Or, like, do you know him outside of real estate?
So, it's so funny. Me and Dan first just met through Instagram. So as soon as the show took off, like, we just started organically talking. And then I was like, I respect what you're doing. Oh, I respect what you're doing. But I mean, respect. Yeah, it's just respect all the way around. Adam Sandler skit, we're like the same.
Do you remember that Adam Sandler skit, Respect?
Yes.
Do you? I'm talking about from like his first comedy album. And it's like a bunch of mafia guys just saying respect all the time.
No, I have this podcast, but
the reference was funny.
Yeah.
SNL bro thing by the pool. With Chris Farley, it was like for a beer thing. It was like, really, it's like respect. It was like, right. I don't know if you saw that old beer commercial. It's really funny. It's like Schweppes or something. I don't know what the hell it's called, but
yeah,
it's good. A funny commercial. But yeah, no, me and JB's, everything's organic. Like my relationship with him, everything that happened with me and Noel, just like, you know, some people just get on my fucking nerves, and it is what it is. And then same thing would happen with Peggy. It's just, I couldn't hide the way I felt. So like anytime we're filming, of course, the only thing that was set up was like, okay, if we have a beef or a problem, we're going to handle it on camera instead of making the calls, obviously. Yeah. So like, that's the only thing that had to be produced was how to schedule the issues and schedule the problems and talk about those problems. You know, obviously you saw, I was very open on the show. So, you know, they were able to use me to open up certain conversations, like, you know, the boat scene. I hired a boat. I mean, we literally got the boat, and it's our boat. It's an S-Seeker boat. And we took them out and had some charcuterie boards. That was disgusting. That cost like $400 and it tasted like shit. And, you know, we tried to hash a lot of this stuff out. But, you know, some things were successful. Some things weren't.
Are you doing, because it's a pretty short show. Are you signed on? Do you know anything about another season or anything like that?
Yes. So unfortunately, you know how that stuff works. Can't really talk about what's going on.
Yeah, well, we're number one real estate podcast of all time. So
I know you are the biggest real estate podcast in the world. Okay?
The entire universe.
So if we don't look at stats. If you want to break it, you can break it here.
You can come back on and break it when it comes.
Bro, I think what's going to happen is you guys are going to sign on the Social Blade after this, and our numbers are just going to go fucking to the roof.
Right back up.
I love looking at you. You ever go to socialblade.com?
No, what is Social Blade?
No, what is that?
Oh, what?
What is it?
What is it?
Guys, really?
I'm sure I'll become obsessed with it. You can look your
YouTube channel up. Mm-hmm. You can see the analytics. You can see how much you're making on any YouTuber. So it's just like really cool to see.
Is it just YouTube, or can you see Instagram, Facebook, Twitter?
I think it's just YouTube, but you might be able to switch the options, but I always look at YouTube and see what the real estate guys are making when they're, you know, starting their own channels and doing that stuff. Because like, I thought about it, but I'm like, you know what? That'd be so forced. Cause that's just not me right now. Like, I'm not that guy that's going to be like, open the door and be like, hey, I'm Michael Fulfrey and like fucking walk around and, like, I got to take care of my child and still close deals at the same time. I'm in the middle of three closings. It's like $11 million worth of deals. So I got both sides on two of the three. So, yeah. I mean, major commissions that I just need to focus on. It's like, it's hard for me to do a million things at once. That's why I'm getting a few people, like, you know, they say, I'm building my team. Like, you know, I'm getting my team together because I like literally cannot do it without help. So Cassidy and Trenton are listening to this, I'm sure, and will be. You know, they'll be new members. They just got their New York State licenses. So they're like my little babies. And now I have something to worry about now. So like, I got to figure out how I can maximize their careers as much as I can, because people understand, I'm sure some people don't give a shit, but when you start a team, it's like, wow, now you're responsible for like two other people's careers. It's like they're hoping that you'll bring them business and they can piggyback off you. So, you know, at first my experience, I was like, oh, dope, I'm building a team. And then right when I started, I was like, you know what, dude, their livelihoods, like they're here for me and for this opportunity. So I really got to show out for them. So, you know, it's been a lot of stress with that. You know, it's, I have a lot of insecurities when it comes to that stuff.
Are they joining the team Is this Jimmy's team or is this your specific team?
It's just going to be so the full free team. I think we're just going to go with the full free team.
Nice.
You know, I was thinking about like just a different name, not even having my name in there, but all the cool names are taken right now.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I couldn't think of anything.
Maybe we'll
think
of something for you. Maybe we'll try.
No, I know. Exactly. Some will come up, bro. Like
full free is a cool name.
Like nip it in the bud.
And just use your model picture from 10 years ago.
Just 10 years ago.
Black and white model photo you had.
Yeah, I'm going to catfish everybody.
Catfish with your own photo.
Yeah, I catfish people with what I used to look like. I mean, no, I mean, I'm not in bad shape now. I'm like, because being 6'5 has its advantages. Like, you could be 250 and look great. So I'm like, you know, 250, I don't look great, but, you know, I just got to turn this soft into hard. You know what I mean? I got to get a little, you know, I got to get in the gym a little bit. But it's that quarantine. It's that being a dad. It's all that shit, man.
It's a lot, man.
It's stressful.
I mean, I'm excited. Hopefully there's another season because, like I said, I was watching it last night I was telling my wife I was watching it for work. And,
research purposes.
Yeah, research only. And then I was like, holy fuck, this is good. And then she started coming over and she was watching it. She's like, oh, well, now I want to watch it. I was like, well, this is fucking my work. So, I mean, I don't.
So get out of here.
And then we watched pretty much the whole thing.
Dude, that's so great.
Yeah, she was loving it. And I was telling her, I was like, oh, Mike is definitely my favorite. And I didn't know if I just liked you because I knew you're coming on and maybe I would have thought you were a fucking asshole before.
Yeah. Some people think I'm an asshole, bro.
No, there's no way. You're a nice dude on it. Like,
I know, but I get that. Funny. I get that bro thing. Like, oh, you're just that typical bro. I'm like, fuck you then. I'm a typical bro.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be a bro. Like
Dan messaged me before and said he's one of us.
But you can tell just talking, like it's
one
just
of
super,
us, great.
Super organic, right?
Yeah, dude. Because we're not robots.
Yeah, exactly.
And, I mean, there's people on here that when they speak with you, they're just contriving their words. It's all bullshit. Yeah.
Trust me, we know.
You guys know that. You know when you're talking to somebody, everything's someone selling you something.
Yeah.
I'm fucking sick of it.
Yeah.
I'm sick of it.
I know.
I think it's stupid. I think it's a waste of time. I mean, fucking Yoda has more personality than some of the people that, you know, are doing really well in real estate.
Yeah, can we interview him after this? Just have it in front of the mic.
Dude, yeah, you can just have a little talk with big black eyes. I love him. Yeah.
Well, dude, it's
a guy.
It's awesome, man. I'm going to finish it up tonight, and I hope there's a season two. If you need any fillers, Eric and I are good.
We'll fly out to the Hamptons.
We'll fly out.
Are you both LA based?
No, he's LA. I'm Toronto, Canada.
Oh, dude, I knew there was like some Canada humor in you. Dude, I love the Canadian boys. Like, so Nelk.
The Nelk boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I support this guy, Brett, who I love to death. He's battling cancer, doing a great job. He's kicking ass. And Nelk always, you know, we did a video for them. So Kyle's a great guy. Well, and everything that they do and the following that they have and the time that they still give to people, bro, is amazing.
Yeah.
Of course, they're very salacious and they're crazy and the young kids, but. You know, still what they do is incredible, bro. I like Canada's sick, dude. Like I wouldn't even be inside right now. I'd be snowmobiling, you know, because you guys are from LA and Canada. Have you been to the Hamptons?
No, I've been to New York a couple of times for like Yankees games and stuff.
Yeah, I've been to New York.
I haven't been to the Hamptons.
Yeah.
Matt, you look like you haven't left your house in 2 years.
You
just live in that room.
I haven't the last fucking year. I haven't.
I've only talked to you, and you're always in that room.
Yeah. It's my fucking studio.
Yeah. Hey, relax.
It's not the fucking over ass thing, you motherfucker.
I mean, take it easy, all right? Maybe build a baby room, and you'll be more inviting, all right?
I at least switch rooms sometimes during the podcast.
Like, hey, whose room looks more professional, Mike? You know, I'm trying to have a fucking
yours.
Yeah, full
looks like a mental institution. Like,
I got a sign.
I got a fucking sign.
Eric is always by the window where he can just jump out of if he has to.
That's the goal, exactly.
I have a window right here.
Do you? It looks like you're in a dungeon.
I know, because
you look like you're in the lower level.
You honestly, you know what you look like? What with the over ass sign? It's like roasting Matt time, but it looks like you're the beginning of the beginning of an escape room where you're like, hey, welcome to the escape room with the key in the background, and it's just like, you know, these are your instructions.
This it also is looks fucking.
Like you're, It also looks like you're hooked up to like a saw kind of mechanism thing. You have that you're gonna have to like dig. No, no, but like with the robot stuff behind you, it looks like you're gonna have to like dig a key out of your eye or something.
Yeah, it's like, listen, you know, we implanted the key in your balls.
Both you motherfuckers.
You have a razor.
I YouTubed how to fucking do this setup for 5 fucking hours. I have a light here. I have 2 lights behind me. A fucking light over here. This is real deal, okay?
You know, can you open that door? Can you open that drawer just to see if there's anything beyond it?
That's my furnace.
Oh, it's your furnace. Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just a concrete wall.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's just all brick.
It's just another room that looks exactly like that.
Yeah, but yeah. Anyways, you guys can all go fuck yourself. Have a good day. But Mike, seriously, man.
I like your setup, Matt.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for roasting.
No, you're a legend, Matt. Well, and Eric, you're a legend.
Hey, you're a legend.
You have no idea how awesome it is. I hope this is like a continuing relationship where we could check in with each other every, let's say, if there's other seasons, before.
Absolutely.
Sounds like there's other seasons.
Sounds like there might be other seasons.
I don't know. No, I can't confirm. I literally know nothing. I know nothing. I'm just here selling real estate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
I hope there is, because I do really enjoy the show. And throw me a follow on Instagram. I followed you and didn't get it back. No issues, man. That's fine. You're a busy guy.
No. You're butthurt, and I respect that. What should I get you under the Leonetti? Just a Matt Leonetti.
Yeah, Matt.
Very dramatic. This is very dramatic.
Leonetti. Oh, the everyone talks about the
dude. The pondering man.
Yeah,
it's like
it's mystique. It's mystery, right there.
It's kind of sexy. It's kind of like he might have like a really cute dog and take long walks.
He does. He's got a cute dog.
Very cute dog. His name's Bowie. Very cute. Well,
I definitely am following. I'm following the broke agent. I would not follow the broke agent.
Okay. Well,
that would be.
I mean,
I'm going to text you after this for that verification guy for the hookup.
Yeah. Well, we're going to see you on. Oh, there you are.
Yeah. Just.
I got you.
I just followed you, bro.
Okay, good.
And you got 18,000 followers.
Yeah.
Dude, this is what we do. We're here to uplift all each other, bro. This is.
Yeah.
And you guys are like uplifting me. Honestly, I look up to you guys. Like, I just have Netflix show. I just got a chance.
Just have a Netflix show.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. But think about it. You guys, both of you, have grinded your asses off and done this organically. Like, I was given a platform before Netflix. I had 300 followers. I would get 12 likes on a picture. No one gave a shit.
Yeah.
So it's always like, remember where you came from and what's been handed to you, and appreciate it. So like, you guys have done it organically. So you guys are really the ones to applaud and fucking keep killing it and bringing these people on, because I saw you guys had Ryan on, and then you had what's his name on? He's a huge investor from LA.
Maurizio.
Humanity. Yeah, he's amazing, bro. He's amazing.
Yeah, he crushes.
Yeah,
crushes.
Yeah,
savage and handsome as fuck.
Oh, like, yeah, he is
handsome as
he's
ever.
He's got such a smooth voice too. He's got that, like,
I feel like I'm gonna. Nice kinda, I think I'm gonna age kind of like him. So I'm looking forward. Yeah.
Yeah. I would hope to age like him, but he's a fine wine. But in Italian, Italians say this a lot. And Matt, I don't know if this translates over to Canada, but we call it the olive oil voice.
Okay,
somebody can have that kind of smooth way about them, it's the olive oil voice.
Just
remember that one. Next time you want to drop a gem and like you're in some Canada, actually you have a wife,
I'll say,
but talking to somebody, like, listen, you have an olive oil voice, and just see if they just like they look at you like you're an asshole, or they actually understand what you mean.
Okay,
but it's a compliment.
All right, well, I'll let you know how that goes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, see you later.
Dude, we appreciate you.
Good pivot, Matt.
I'm excited for the possible next season. And we're going to stay connected. And we're going to figure out how to get us all verified. Well, you're going to figure out how to get us verified.
I'm gonna help you the most I
can. As soon as we
start making some fake profiles.
Okay. Sweet. Yeah. That's what we'll be doing.
Have your new team just work on that. Just the broker agent, just a bunch of
call me. Call me right after this, right when we hang up, and I'm just gonna tell you guys what to do real quick.
Okay.
I'll just stop this recording. The
March Madness scores first.
I'm just gonna stop recording, and we can just talk right now.
Yeah, stop recording.
Yeah, do that.
You guys all take care now. Thanks for listening.